KDBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More big technology companies are requiring their employees to come back to the office. With the COVID-19 pandemic winding down, Epic Systems in Verona began requiring workers to spend almost all of their time at the company's campus since early last year. An Epic executive tells the State Journal the company monitored hybrid work trends and decided in-person work suits the company better. A recent survey of 4,500 companies find that 75% of tech companies are still either fully remote or let employees choose when to be in the office, but that is changing. Vice President Kamala Harris is talking up a new agreement with Nokia in Wisconsin to make specialized electronics for broadband. She was in Pleasant Prairie yesterday.
Bidenomics is working. It's working. Since we took office, we have created more than 13 million jobs. That's more jobs created in 2.5 years than any administration has created in 4.
The Biden administration is working to blanket the country with higher speed internet. Communities around Wisconsin are getting hundreds of millions of dollars to fight the opioid epidemic. Luke Mathers has more.
Wisconsin got $700 million to settle a multi-state lawsuit against drug companies for their role in creating the nationwide opioid epidemic. Attorney General Josh Call says 70% of that money is going to local police and health departments. They'll use it for prevention, treatment, and enforcement. Tim Carahan is superintendent of the Wisconsin State Patrol.
Without the intervention of officers, the opioid crisis would be even more destructive. Law enforcement access to naloxone or Narcan means an overdose call has the potential to become an opportunity for recovery.
30% of the settlement money goes to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services for outreach programs. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
Back to school time is coming up soon, and that can be stressful for kids on the autism spectrum. Aaron Skaggs of Easter Seals says parents can take some steps ahead of time to make a difference.
They always recommend to start with your school, contact the counselor or social worker about setting up a one-on-one school tour. It really can help alleviate some of those questions kids have and parents about where their child will be going on that first day. And then certainly, of course, going to any other welcome events the school may have.
Skaggs also says letting kids with autism choose their own school supplies and clothes gives them a feeling of control. The Wisconsin State Fair is only admitting kids under 18 with a parent after 5 in the evening. Fair officials say it's to make sure that groups of unsupervised teenagers don't cause trouble. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. A Pulaski man is looking at 13 felony charges for causing an explosion at a bonfire. 18-year-old Samuel Armstrong was charged with 13 counts of negligent handling of explosives. He also admitted to drinking the night he and another person threw a barrel of gas and diesel fuel on a bonfire last October. The Shawano County Sheriff's Department says 17 teenagers were burned by the explosion, including Brandon Brichkowski, who ended up with burns on almost 40% of his body. Samuel Armstrong will be arraigned on September 13th. People with disabilities can now enjoy Peninsula State Park even more. The Wisconsin DNR says the Door County Park now offers an all-terrain wheelchair, making the park's hiking trails more accessible. The chair was a gift from a local business and the group Friends of Peninsula State Park. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
A blowout win for the Brewers. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers put on a show for a nationwide audience last night on Fox Sports, especially the young guys like Sal Frelick and second baseman Bryce Terang.
Swings and launches one deep to right field. Long gone for the rookie, his fifth. A three-run blast, 8-1 Brewers.
The Brewers went on to beat the Pirates 14-1 at AmFam Field. Christian Yelich went 3-for-4 with 2 runs batted in. The Cubs beat the Reds 5-3, and that gave Milwaukee a half-game lead in the NL Central. The Cubs are now just 2.5 games behind. Game 2 of the series with the Brewers and Pirates is tonight. On Sunday, Brandon Woodruff expected to get his first start after being out since April 7th with a shoulder injury. Last night in the NFL, the stadium lights went out for 15 minutes just before the start of the fourth quarter at the the Hall of Fame game in Canton. The Browns came back to beat the Jets last night, a final score of 21-16. Jets quarterback Zach Wilson hit former Packers receiver Malik Taylor on a 57-yard bomb that set up a field goal in the first half. In Green Bay, the Packers practiced in pads for over 2 hours in 91-degree heat. For the first time in camp, the offense finally won the competition period. After practice, Matt LaFleur went live on the NFL Network and was asked how Jordan Love is doing.
You know, I see a lot of growth, and I see it every day, and our guys are competing hard. Today was a really good practice for us in terms of just battling through some heat, battling through some adversity. We had a full tackle to the ground period right there, which is something that we haven't done in the past. So I like the mentality of this team, and guys are, they're not just punching the clock. They're being intentional about their work, and I think they're getting better every day.
And Wisconsin native and former Badger J.J. Watt was on the Dan Patrick Show.
How close were you to playing for the Packers?
It's a story for another day, but it would have been awesome. That's all I'll say.
That's JJ Watt with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. How about you, Earl?
I'm doing fine. Calvin?
I'm doing well. It's finally Friday.
Let's get right at it.
We all check that box off.
Yeah, let's get right at it. We've got a special guest waiting in the wings, minority leader of the Senate, Senator Agard. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing great.
It's good to finally have you on the air.
I'm thrilled. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Let me ask you. You've been talking about legalizing marijuana for some time.
I have. I first introduced a bill here in Wisconsin over 10 years ago for adult use cannabis legalization and regulation. At that point, there were only a small handful of states that had actually passed that legislation. And here we are a little over a decade later, and 23 states have full adult legalization now. It is clear that the genie is out of the bottle across the nation and that the majority party, the Republicans in Wisconsin, are completely out of touch with what it is that the good people of Wisconsin want us to do when it comes to cannabis.
You know, I have to tell you, my wife and I raised a young man who takes a lot of medications and because of his disability. And we always wanted to attempt to get medical marijuana in order to take away some of the side effects from all those pills that he was taking. And it's still amazing to me that the state of Wisconsin still doesn't allow medical marijuana. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question for the majority party, right? You know, I think that it is vitally important that people have access to this plant that grows out of the ground in order to provide relief to themselves and to their loved ones as well. You know, the ground does not open up and swallow people in states that have legalized for responsible adult usage. We're suffering, I think, in the Capitol building from a bit of misinformation and reefer madness. And, you know, the trends are there. Not only have other states done it, yeah, you know, just because someone's jumping off a bridge doesn't mean that you need to do it. Your dad, you understand that. But Wisconsin would be a safer place for our kids and for our communities with regulation. Prohibition didn't work with alcohol. And even in Wisconsin, it didn't work with margarine. You know, there was a period of time when you couldn't buy margarine in Wisconsin, and they used to call them oleo runs, people going over the border to other states to simply buy margarine. And it's not working with cannabis. There's a really successful illicit industry in the state of Wisconsin where people can buy cannabis Additionally, people are driving across the border to communities in Illinois and Michigan to purchase cannabis.
And now Minnesota.
In a hot second in Minnesota, right? And we also, you know, you can drive down the streets of any city, town, village in the state of Wisconsin, and there's dispensaries selling hemp derivative products that have cannabinoids in them. And those shop owners are saying, will you please regulate us? Will you pass this bill? Because there's a lot of bad actors out there, and they want to be able to show that what they have in their shops is high quality and that people can trust them. And it's a bit like Mad Max right now.
So we've got Canada north of us as well, right? We've got a whole country that's decided to, yeah. I mean, aren't there enough studies in all these places to persuade the skeptics? First of all, we've had a couple of referendum in the state that I think are pretty conclusive, weren't they? You undoubtedly have the numbers directly in your mind, but my understanding is it's not just a majority, it's a supermajority of people in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, whether it's a red county or a blue county, a red city or a blue city, just a couple of years ago, there were referendums popping up left and right around Wisconsin, and they were overwhelmingly passing. It is clear that people in Wisconsin know that prohibition is not working. And in fact, it appears as if roughly 7 out of 10 Wisconsinites support full recreational cannabis legalization with a medicinal component, and over 80% support medicinal cannabis legalization.
So
you know, if any politician wins their election with an over 55% win, that's considered a mandate. So I would think 80% would be a super mandate.
What are the arguments that can be? I mean, we've got obviously then opposition by people who are doing it more ideologically than they are factually. There must be a bunch of facts that have been compiled in these 23 states and are being compiled in this nation north of us that relate to the impact of the legalization. You know, the people who are against it must be expressing fears about what it will do, I don't know what, to highway safety or whether it's a gateway drug or, you know, all of the things that are the kind of reefer madness kinds of defenses against it, much like the people who were running around trying to claim that teetotaling was required of all people. Shouldn't we be installing, aren't there a bunch of factual arguments that you can make that demonstrate to those people that it's foolish, that they're fighting the same war that the people who were trying to shut down all the taverns in the country were fighting?
Yeah, you make some very great points, and absolutely, there is a lot of factual evidence out there that, again, the ground does not open up and swallow the world in communities that have legal cannabis. In fact, those communities are safer for our kids, safer for our roads, safer for business owners, and it's absolutely egregious that this is yet another item on a very long list here in the state of Wisconsin of where the majority party, the Republican Party, refuses to hear the will of the people, whether it's ensuring that people have access to health care, whether it's ensuring that people have a living wage when they go to work and make profits for their bosses, whether it's protecting our air and water and land here in the state of Wisconsin, or investing in our public schools, providing child care opportunities for families and business owners so people can get back to work. So I would like to, you know, point out with optimism the fact that, you know, we have a Supreme Court here in Wisconsin that appears that it's going to be more fair and balanced to the will of the people and the actual readings of our state's constitution. And they took a case up this week in regards to whether or not representation in the state legislature is working for the people of Wisconsin, arguing that we need to fix our gerrymandering, that we need to fix our district lines. And I do believe that when our legislature will be more fair and balanced, people won't be able to hide behind their political ideologies or their big donors. They're going to have to wake up and listen to the people of Wisconsin who are asking overwhelmingly for us to legalize weed.
So let me ask you, what about the financial, you know, bounty that is at the end of it? That doesn't register at all with them?
Yeah. You know, they say, you know, one of the things, you know, I think, you know, that, you know, the majority party continues to beat a drum and say that they're more fiscally responsible than Democrats. But, you know, they're leaving over $1 billion on the table in the failure to expend health care. They've sent lots of money back to the federal government for broadband expansion, and they're saying we shouldn't make money off of cannabis sales because they call it a gateway drug. Well, we know it's a successful illicit industry in Wisconsin. The money's going into the black market. It should be going in to our state tax dollars, and we should be providing regulation and safety and education to our kids in our communities as well.
So we've
got being able to address egregious racial disparities. You know, we can't forget about that part of it.
So we've got 70% of the people in the state of Wisconsin who appear to be in support of the legalization of marijuana. And we've got a majority party that seems to be ignoring that and responding to some other impetus, some other inclination. What is it that they're responding to? Who is it, or what is it behind the position that's being taken against it? Who are they responding to?
That's a really good question for the majority party. And I would encourage that, you know, it would be great if you could get them on a show.
Could that be the Tavern League? Could that be the liquor producers that may be opposed to it?
I don't know that I agree with the fact that anyone is putting dollars behind working against cannabis. It's that, you know, people aren't even the majority party isn't even allowing us to have public hearings and discussions in the Capitol building about the policy. So, you know, I think really it's more about ideology. I think it's more about the fact that it doesn't match the tone that the majority party wants to be the song that they want to be singing here in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, they're wrong. And things are going to be changing in Wisconsin pretty swiftly here, I believe. And with more fair maps, people's voices are going to matter even more. And it's vitally important that people don't give up on reaching out to their elected officials and talking about how we will be a safer community. And, yeah, we should take that money and we should be investing it into mental health, addiction, education, infrastructure. There are a lot of ways we can make Wisconsin safer and more prosperous, and this is one of them.
Sandy?
Well, you know, my sense is that facts have to trump kind of the blind ideological position, and that when you say that we're safer, I think we it would be good to be able to lay some more factual basis behind that, because I think 70% of the people want this to happen. Now they need people to carry the case for them. I was an attorney for my professional life. It seems like this is the kind of situation where what's needed is people to carry that case for them and to make the case for them. Most of them, I think, have reached the decision that they think it's the right thing to have legalized because of their personal experience with marijuana, because just like alcohol during Prohibition, there are very few people who reach maturity in the state of Wisconsin who have not had experience with marijuana.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of information out there about the improved safety on communities with legalization. And we make a lot of those points in our office and, you know, meet with folks. And it's interesting watching the conversation changing with more law enforcement, understanding that with legalization of cannabis, their jobs actually, they can focus on the real wrongs and the ills in their communities. It's high time we legalize cannabis in Wisconsin.
Hey, Senator Agard, we're in agreement with you. Thank you very much. We got to get you back on a little bit later on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Ha ha ha! Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya! Ha ha ha!
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather.
Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 81. Northeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 61. High temperatures reach up to 81 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday, with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 66.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
Channel. It's the right show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, a lot to talk about. Just a lot to talk about today. And, you know, I want to go to the Ukraine and Russia war and the ominous sign, Sandy, that this thing is could start spinning really out of control, with the fact that Ukraine is now able to attack homeland of Russia and do some damage, not major damage, but it is a sign.
Mm-hmm.
That they have now decided, well, we're going to hit back. And so the carnage is now on Russian soil, and the Russian citizens are now in danger. I don't think Putin's going to play fair with that, do you?
Well, the whole thing is, you know, I just think we have such a misunderstanding and distorted view of Russia and the Russian feelings about Putin. Putin's grip on Russia has become more secure and less secure since the steps we took to isolate Russia
and the suffering the Russian people are experiencing.
Right. He's been able to convert that into anger by the Russian people at the outside forces, the West, who are creating this situation in Russia, as far as his translation of it is concerned. Right. You know, the whole the uprising that he had with the Prigozhin and the Wagner group, we look at it and we see, well, that's a weakened Putin. There are the others who look at it and say Putin's been very crafty, and he's basically being able to allow dissension amongst his cabinet, essentially. So long as they all swear their loyalty to him, he thinks it creates an atmosphere in Russia of the ability to have dissent, by allowing this kind of stuff to go on. And there's some credibility to that view of things based on the way he's allowing Prigozhin to continue to be a player. So I just don't think we understand what the internals of Russia are and how they will be impacted. But I do think that the situation, the more desperate Russia becomes in terms of potentially losing the conflict, the more danger we have. We had a spokesman for Putin a couple of days ago saying that nuclear weapons would necessarily be considered by Russia for tactical use if Ukraine is successful in its counteroffensive. So that's like declaring he said, so you people in the West, you ought to pray that this counteroffensive isn't effective because otherwise we're going to deploy our nuclear weapons. So, the whole thing is a big problem, is what it is. And it's apparently one that's going to persist until peace talks can be commenced. And based on the third-party conversations by the head of Brazil, by the head of Turkey and elsewhere, it appears that neither side has actually indicated a true willingness to have talks at this point. So it doesn't appear that talks are in the offing to settle this thing. So, we're going to have a long-term problem, long-term dispute, a long-term disruption of food flow in the world. It's a problem.
Sandy, the fact that they can now, Ukraine and their drones can reach Russian territory and mete out damage to the citizens.
Well, in Moscow. I mean, apparently these are not heavy payload, explosive payload drones, but they're a bit like the V-2 rockets that the Nazis used against England, where they just sent rockets that had the potential to land anywhere and to create havoc and fear amongst those in London who were subject to potential.
Yeah, but Sandy, initially they couldn't do that.
Yeah, now they can.
Right,
and they also have naval drones, which they're using now against naval vessels further out into the Black Sea. So clearly, Ukraine has upped the game in terms of its capacity to strike out at Russia
with our assistance.
Well, I think to be honest with you, because there haven't been any Russian claims that it's been with our assistance, that so far at least these naval drones and the drones that they're sending as far as Moscow have nothing about them that smacks of U.S. product. Okay, and so long as that's the case, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Well, Sandy, I would think that Russia's not going to believe it anyway. They're going to believe what they want to believe. They've seen our involvement and engagement in other aspects with giving the weapons and those kinds of things. They're certainly not going to say, well, America's hands are clean on this. And whether it's true or not, they've already got enough ammunition to say we've been meddling enough.
Well, I think Putin has so far been careful about that. The rhetoric has been pretty wild, but I think he's been careful when it comes down to actually pointing the finger and creating a situation where his people would call for action.
All right, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Former President Donald Trump back home in New Jersey after his trip to Washington, where he pled not guilty to 4 federal charges related to alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
This is a persecution of a political opponent. This was never supposed to happen in America.
One condition of Trump's release is that he cannot discuss the case to anyone he knows to be a witness unless through attorneys or with an attorney present. Two U.S. Navy sailors were arrested and charged with selling sensitive military information to China. The two were based in California, but prosecutors did not say if they were aware of each other's activities. Ukraine used drones to attack a major Russian commercial port for the first time since the war began. Apple is in a slump, revenue down for a third consecutive quarter as iPhone sales fell by 2.4%. But the company still earned nearly $82 billion in overall sales. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. The University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh has serious financial issues. The school has an unprecedented budget crisis that will cost some staff their jobs. Chancellor Andrew Levitt says the school is $18 million in the hole. He calls the predicament a perfect storm of declining enrollment, lack of state financial support, and tapping into reserves after a tuition freeze that lasted a decade. The university is planning drastic measures to close the gap by using furloughs and laying off up to 200 people. An iconic Northeast Wisconsin bar and restaurant is gone. The River Rail Bar and Banquet Hall in Shiocton was completely destroyed by a fire Wednesday night. Officials say the fire started in an apartment on the second floor, but are not sure of the cause. The owners of the River Rail, who just purchased the popular bar about a year ago, say they are still in shock and not sure if they will rebuild. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. And Bill from Oconomowoc This is that highbrow music that you were talking about. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. And
I even put my Music One hat on then and figured out who it was.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah.
Let's do this, Sandy. When all these things have been going on with Donald Trump, and you and I have kind of stayed away from those kinds of things, but you can't stay away from this, right?
No.
You can't. Let me ask you as an attorney and who takes an oath. And when you hear people saying that the nation's legal system is crooked and the jury system is not right, we can't trust the jury system in this country. That's a lot to say, right?
Well, that's really the beginning of the end in terms of democracy, really, because ultimately democracy has to be premised on the imposition of laws and the adherence to laws by everyone. The mark of our developed state has always been the fact that we have a rule of law and we abide by it. The rule of law is implemented through courts, and our court system is in every way aimed at being as dispassionate as possible in terms of its politicization. And so now for people in high places, Lindsey Graham and others, people in high places to attack our judicial system is really to put at risk our whole democratic system. Because what do they want to replace? How do they want to generate a court system that they can trust? How will they change the current court system to become a court system that is more trustworthy? Everybody is subject to having a court decide something contrary to their interest. And that happens in civil cases. It happens in criminal cases. And people have to put up with the result. And yes, courts have made mistakes. Juries do make mistakes. But it's kind of the messiness of democracy, right? There have been plenty of quotes about how it's like sausage making, you know. Democracy is a messy process, but tell me a better one. You know, tell me what you want to replace it with that's going to work better in terms of protecting individual rights. I mean, I think this is a really dangerous and important watershed moment in American history, this whole situation right now, not just the indictment of Donald Trump, but the way that the people around the country are reacting to it and how they're reacting to our judicial system. And it's the reason I said months ago that Donald Trump's conduct, his reckless conduct, and his unwillingness to put the country ahead of himself is jeopardizing our democracy, because any president who forces the system to indict him and take him to trial for criminal conduct is jeopardizing the system. Because, yes, it's easy to label the pursuit of a criminal case against an ex-president as a political witch hunt. Of course, it can always be made to smell that way. The question is whether the facts are consistent with that or not. And so I just think that the current situation, Richard Nixon, as abhorrent as I thought he was after the whole Watergate situation, did exactly the right thing as a patriotic American by essentially putting himself into self-imposed exile after a voluntary resignation from the presidency, as the result of how the prosecution of Richard Nixon for his crimes would have sullied our country.
You know, Sandy, very simplistic, but no man is against the law. It's bigger than the law, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no man is bigger than the law. And whatever you say or think in support of Donald Trump, let's say it's not Donald Trump, whoever it is, no one person
right
should ever be bigger than that. And what we've done here is we've kind of made this one guy, or he's made himself bigger than all of that.
Well, he says, I want Tommy to get punished too, so Hunter. So, yeah, I want Hunter Biden to be thoroughly. Yeah, I want that whole case to be thoroughly evaluated, too, because currently, in the current situation, it's very important that our judicial system demonstrate the fact and our law system demonstrate the fact that it's unbiased. And I think that that process is ongoing. You know, Donald Trump now says, why did you take so long to prosecute me? Because now it's in the middle of my campaign. Yeah. Well, it took so long because the American process is that people are essentially innocent until proven guilty, that cases need to be explored, evaluated, investigated. It's not an overnight process, particularly when it's not a crime of, for instance, a murder, right? So here we've got crimes that are much more complex and require much more evaluation than the fact circumstance of a burglary or an assault. And so, yeah, it took time. That's the American process. That's in fact a good thing, not a bad thing.
So Sandy, you know, you hear that they're trying to rush and get this into the courts, because if they don't get it into the courts on time, there's a good chance the whole case is not going to be worth anything. Well, are they going to be able to put a full court press on getting it into the courts? Because if they don't, and the elections come, this thing can just...
Well, that's the messiness, right? That's the... To me, that's the problem with Donald Trump. He's willing to put our country into a constitutional crisis on his own behalf. And if this prosecution persists after he were to be elected president, we would then be even in a greater constitutional crisis situation. The presumption is that he will not, at that point, simply use his pardon power to get rid of the federal prosecutions. He'll have trouble if Georgia indicts him. He'll have trouble with that one, because that isn't subject to federal pardons, right, or federal, and same with the New York State situation. But
those are much less.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, here we have an American system. We've appointed special counsel, and apparently the world out there wants to politicize the special counsel process. Some special counsel are to be trusted and believed. For instance, John Durham. We have callers who call in and want to support John Durham and his outcomes. He's a special counsel. But they don't want to support the outcome of Robert Mueller, a special counsel, or Jack Smith, now a special counsel, all of whom were appointed in a process of trying to depoliticize this whole concept of criminal investigations of those in political positions. And so how do people reach that judgment of who they're going to trust? Is it because, do they trust them because of who appointed them? Because that's basically the most political outlook. Or do they trust them because of the results that they report? Because that seems to be something that isn't consistent with following the facts either. So I think that what we've got right now is, in fact, a constitutional crisis. And it's a constitutional crisis created by an individual who puts himself above the terrible mess that our democracy is getting itself into as the result of the crisis. And the crisis is about a legal system dealing with reckless conduct of someone in a position of great power.
You know, Sandy, and this goes all the way down to the guy who has to go in and he committed a crime, a property crime, and maybe it goes to a jury. So that guy can say, hey, this is all crooked. You know, if nobody can, you know, what I'm doing here, I can't believe the justice system, and I can't believe these people at the jury of my peers. I can't trust those people. Well, if that can happen on the highest level, that's going to, certainly all down the line. Right?
All down the line. And the notion that we would buy into the concept that a conspiracy could be being carried out now against Donald Trump that involves a grand jury in Georgia, prosecutor in Georgia, a secretary of state in Georgia, that involves a whole bunch of people who are in Trump's cabinet, his vice president, all of the people who are now going to be instrumental witnesses in this process, and the conduct, which is really uncontested, okay? And the notion that there is some kind of an establishment conspiracy that is crooked is beyond comprehension of how this conspiracy, where does it get hatched? Do they have Zoom meetings to discuss them? You know, no. You know, this is all the result of parallel action, parallel courts, parallel judicial proceedings, parallel fact findings. And it turns out that one guy, somebody who, before he became president, was involved in something like 3,500 litigations before, is now, you know, has conducted himself in such a way that all of this is happening. And, you know, it's like, it's unbelievable.
You know, Sandy, when you look at him and he says to everybody, well, I have my freedom of speech. This, and then they argue and debate and say this is a freedom of speech issue. He can say whatever it is he wants to say. And what they're looking for from a defense perspective from him, it can't be him saying these simplistic answers. I have a right to freedom of speech. I can say what I want to say. You know, I could say that these things should have been, you know, it was crooked and all those kind of things. And so I'm free to say those things. And that somehow it's that simplistic.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Bill Barr, smart guy, you know, we didn't.
His guy.
And it's his guy, yeah. Exactly. It was his guy. Yeah. Clearly, he's now disaffected. And it probably happened in that December 20 period when he was asked to do things that he didn't think he should do. But he analyzed it from a legal standpoint very well. Freedom of speech is unlimited. You can say what you want, but you can't do anything you want, okay? And you can't carry out actions in pursuit of a conspiracy to do something. That's not freedom of speech. As he said, every conspiracy involves speech. Conspiracies are people talking to one another about doing something. You know, every fraud involves speech. So the fact that speech is involved doesn't make it subject to the First Amendment necessarily. And so, you know, Donald Trump's got a simplistic mind about the law. One of the reasons he does is it's never been applied against him successfully to date, okay? He's skated through life, inheriting a huge amount of money. And
wasting it.
Yes, and you know he'd have more money today if he'd simply put it in the stock market instead of trying to apply his business acumen to it, whatever that business acumen is. But here's a person who has yet to be held accountable and has gotten, I think, increasingly reckless in his conduct over the years as a result.
You know, Sandy, the historians will write about this time, and Trump has to lose this in order for our judicial system to ever be respected again, wouldn't you say?
My hope was, and fear, well, I think we have a break, but my concern has always been that he has brought this to a head, forced an indictment.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha. With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food, trucks, and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha. Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha. With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food, trucks, and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha.
Test your home.
for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with host Chris Elfheim and Emily Sefos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 81. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies, tonight lows around 61. A blend of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 81. Temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 68.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy. Sandy, before we get off Donald Trump, let's say worst-case scenario for some of us, and maybe some of our listening audience thinks it's the best-case scenario. But let's say Donald Trump gets reelected president of the United States. He's already said he wants to change things where he doesn't just do another 4 years, that he can get a 4-8. I mean, this is the mindset of this guy. What is the long-term damage to our society, to our way of government, do you think that will happen? If Donald Trump...
Well, you know, the second four-year term has always been one that's fraught with potential more extreme action by a president. He's not running for re-election. He is a lame duck, but he also knows that he can exercise his executive powers to the max, and he's not running... He's not worried about losing his next election, right? So he doesn't have to be accountable. So he will... He will be in a position to use his executive powers however he chooses to do so. And, for instance, in the tariff situation, I mean, I thought he wrought havoc with our foreign affairs and with our financial affairs with the tariff war he decided to initiate against China. And I think we're still feeling the implications and ramifications of that. But that's just one example. He's got all kinds of appointments he can make. He's got all kinds of executive actions he can take. He's already said that he will declare war essentially on the civil service, the civil servants of Washington, because he wants to drain the swamp, as he would say. He wants to attack the deep state. All of that is fraught with destroying essentially the expertise of our government, because the civil servants are the people who actually know what they're doing in Washington. Now, some would say that they know what they're doing and they exploit that by then managing the government in the directions and ways they wish to. But the fact is that the people who know how to run our country in all of its day-to-day ways are the bureaucrats, who are vulnerable then to being attacked by a president who is intent on essentially sinking the deep state.
Let's go to Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning, Ken. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm just curious, wasn't he initially supposed to have 34 counts? How does it go from 34 down to 30?
Does that really matter?
Charges? I don't know. To be honest with you, you know, indictments and counts are interesting matters, but trials frequently are much more confined in facts. And so I agree with Earl. I'm not sure it matters. We have either 30 or 34 counts of alleged criminal conduct. And so now we got to deal with it.
It doesn't matter if somebody charged you with 34 felony charges and all of a sudden you go to court and all of a sudden it's down to 4. So what, the other 32 are made up BS again?
No,
BS. Well, it's a fake witch hunt. The proof is right there. How do you go from 34 down to 30? Or 34 down to 4?
Well,
all I heard for the last 2 weeks was 34 felony charges, 34. And all of a sudden now it's just down to 4. And actually two of them mean exactly the same thing.
No, I don't think it's down to 4. But in any case, what you hear in the news and what you see in indictments are two different things, right? The news media is speculating, and the indictments are, I mean, the indictments, there was a superseding indictment, and it didn't go down to 4. They added 4, okay? So they added 4 to the prior indictment.
So, Sandy, though, he clearly states it's a witch hunt. And so that this is the issue that we're dealing with.
Well, I know, and to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with Ken from Sturgeon Bay for that. I have a problem with
Lindsey Graham.
With the ex-president putting us in the position of conduct, which apparently, clearly, based on a grand jury's conduct and an evaluation, based on the evaluation of different grand juries around the country, warrants potential criminal action. And, you know, Richard Nixon had the patriotism to back off and let someone else govern the country, realizing that the individual who governs the country is less important than the country itself.
You know, Sandy, again, he did this a couple years back. So you might say, okay, he did it a couple years back. Maybe, okay, maybe we can overlook some of those things. Maybe. I'm talking about Donald Trump. Accused of...
Well, the January 6th, yes. A couple of years? Well, the fact is that criminal conduct, we don't follow this very well otherwise, but white-collar crime takes years to prosecute.
I know, but Sandy, he's running again. He's trying to get back into a position where he can do even more mischief, right? I mean, isn't that the fear?
Well, my fear is that people like this put people like Ken and all of us into this position of arguing about whether it's a political witch hunt, whether we're a banana republic or a country of laws. And that's what troubles me, is that people who put themselves above the country and put the country at test, when the individual who runs this country is far less important than the country itself.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on ABC the Civic News. Media app.
I'm Emily.